B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Mem Hei. On Daf Mem Dalet Omud Beis, the Gemara said that Rav assumes and holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there is an Issa of Mukta. Says the Gemara, Hochanami Mistabra, we can bring proof, and it's probable that the Rav Rabbi Yehuda Svirulei, that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda that there is an Issa of Mukta. And the Rishonim already say, we don't need proof that Rav holds that there's an Issa of Mukta. Rav says it explicitly. Over here we're bringing proof that not only is there an Issa of Mukta, but he also holds of the Migu. Migu means, Migu d'iskatsoyi bein ashmoshes. Since something was Mukta for the entire duration of bein ashmoshes, iskatsoyi kula yoyma, it remains Mukta the whole Shabbos, even if the reason that it was Mukta no longer applies sometime through Shabbos, nonetheless it remains Mukta. And we're going to bring proof that Rav holds of this Migu. Do Amar Rav, Manichin Neir al Gabi Dekel b'Shabbos ve'in Manichin Neir al Gabi Dekel b'Yomtev. And in order to understand this, we have to just be maktiv. We have to introduce 2 points. There's one thing, there's one aspect where Shabbos and Yom Tov are similar. And there's another aspect where Shabbos and Yom Tov differ. Regarding a lamp on Yom Tov, one is allowed to light a lamp. And therefore, a lamp would not be Mukta on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, one is not allowed to light a lamp on Shabbos. And therefore, it could be that a lamp is Mukta, as we've discussed. However, there's another Issa which is similar on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that is that on both of them, you're not allowed to use a tree. You're not allowed to take something off a tree or hang something onto a tree. So Rav says here that you're allowed to light a lamp, obviously before the onset of Shabbos, and hang it onto a dekel, onto a palm tree. V'ein manich neir al gabi dekel b'Yom Tov. But on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to hang a lamp onto a palm tree. And the logic for this is that on Shabbos, once the lamp is there, and the lamp is lit when Shabbos comes in, and during the whole Bein HaShemoshes, it will remain Mukta the whole Shabbos, so nobody would entertain the idea of taking the lamp off the dekel on Shabbos, and therefore there's no reason you shouldn't be allowed to hang such a lamp on a dekel. On Yom Tov, however, where there's no Issa, it's not Mukta, we may think that somebody's going to take the lamp off the dekel, and that's also, you're not allowed to take something off a tree on Yom Tov. So says the Gemara, I omres bishleima de Rav k'Rabbi Yehuda svirelei. If you say, as we just explained, that Rav says that something that was Mukta the whole Bein HaShemoshes remains Mukta the whole Shabbos, then I can understand. Hainu deshoni Bein Shabbos liYom Tov. I can understand that on Shabbos, where the lamp was Mukta Bein HaShemoshes, it will remain Mukta the whole of Shabbos, and therefore there will not be any risk of him taking it off the tree on Shabbos, and therefore it's mutter to put it there before Shabbos. You can hang it onto the tree. But on Yom Tov, where there's no Mukta, then he may take it off the tree, and that's Osa. Eloi Omros Krib Shimon Svirulei. But if Rav holds that there's no Migu, and even on Shabbos, once the lamp goes off, we say there's no more reason for the lamp to be Mukta, and you can now move it, then it's going to should have the same halacha as Yom Tov, that you may take it off the dekel on Shabbos, and it should be also Mali Shabbos, Mali Yom Tov. So from this halacha, from the fact that Rav says you're allowed to hang a Shabbos lamp on a dekel before the onset of Shabbos, and we're not worried you're going to take it off on Shabbos, even after the lamp has gone out, you see that Rav holds of the Migu, and anything that was Mukta during Bein HaShemoshes remains Mukta the entire Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'Rav k'Rav Yehuda svirlei? Or is it? Are you sure? Is it clear that Rav holds like Rav Yehuda? V'habo minei de Rav. We've got another question that was asked to Rav, and from the response it seems that he does not hold of Rav Yehuda with Mukta. Because they asked Rav, Mahu letiltule shraga de chanukta mikamei chabori b'shabato. Chabori were a nation that annexed themselves to the Persians, and they did not allow Klal Yisrael to light Chanukah candles. This person, who did light, for whatever reason, he lit the candles, and he wants to know, now that the lamp has gone out, is he allowed to remove the menorah from the entrance, where it's facing the Rosh HaRabim, and take it into his house, now that the lamp has gone out? That's what they asked Rav. V'omar luhu, Rav said, Shapir domi, you're allowed to move it. There seems to be no issue with muktzah. So how can you say that Rav says that something that was muktzah bin ashmoshes is muktzah the whole Shabbos? And here he said that you're allowed to move this lamp once it's gone out on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, you cannot bring proof from there that Rav does not hold Rabbi Yehuda. Shas hatchak shani. Over there, it was a case of an emergency. It was dangerous to keep the lamp out there. They were afraid of the Chabori people, and therefore, one could be makel like Rav Shimon. The ha'omale Rav Kahana v'Rav Ashi l'Rav, because Rav Kahana Rav Ashi actually asked Rav, Hochi hilchasa, is that the halacha that you're allowed to move this lamp? Why is there no issue with muktzah? Omaluhu, and Rav explained to them, Kedaihu Rav Shimon lismach olov b'shas hadchak, in the case of an emergency, in the case of a shas hadchak, we may rely on Rav Shimon that it is not muktzah, and since these chabori created a shas hadchak, therefore you were allowed to move the lamp. But this doesn't mean that the halacha isn't generally, when it's not a shas hadchak, that the halacha is that there is muktzah, and anything that's muktzah ben ashmoshes remains muktzah the whole Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Boyu minei Rish Lakish mir Beichnon. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechonon the following question. Chitim shezoron bekarka. If somebody took wheat kernels and he planted them into the ground, ubeitzim shetachas tarnegoiles, or he took some eggs and he placed them underneath a hen, mahu? What's the halacha according to Reb Shimon? Do we say ki les leil Reb Shimon muktza? When does Reb Shimon say that there's no issa of muktza? Heicha deloy dachya biyodaim. That's only if he did not actively set it aside before Shabbos. And as if to say, this I'm not going to have anything to do with on Shabbos. If somebody did not actively bidaicha biyadayim, put it away, then he holds there's no muktzah. Heicha dadachya biyadayim, but when you do an action, when you actively put it away, you set it aside before Shabbos, maybe isle muktzah. But there, Reb Shimon may agree that there is muktzah because his mind is totally off it. He's totally sectioned away and decided that this item is not going to be relevant on Shabbos, and therefore maybe it's muktzah. Over here, by taking the wheat and putting it in the ground, or taking the egg and putting it under the hen, that's called doicha biyadayim. Maybe Reb Shimon will agree in that case it is muktzah. Oy dilma, or maybe leishna. No, even then Reb Shimon says not. That was the question. Omale, so Reb Yechanon answered back to Rish Lakish, in Muktzel Reb Shimon, the only time where Reb Shimon says that you're not allowed to move something is Elo Shemen Shebeneir. It's only regarding the oil in a lamp. B'shoshu Doilek, whilst the lamp is burning. Hoyel V'huktzel L'mitzvosoy, since he designated this oil for Shabbos candles, and V'huktzel Yisuroy, and now that the Shabbos candles are a light, it's Osa to take any oil because of kibui, and therefore this oil is completely muktzah. It's separated for a mitzvah, it's even osa to take away the oil, and therefore obviously to take the oil out of the lamp is an issa deraisa of kibui, but even some of the oil that drips away from the lamp, since it was designated to be lit and it's osa to take the oil straight out of the lamp, therefore even the oil that drips out is completely muktzah whilst the lamp is lit, according to Reb Shimon. That's how Tosfos explains this Gemara. Asks the Gemara, V'lesle huktzel mitzvosoy, it seems from the way that Rabbi Yochanan said, Hoyel v'huktzel mitzvosoy, huktzel isura, it's only asa, if besides for the fact that you've designated it for the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, it's also asa to take any of the oil whilst it's lit, and that's when it's also called in Reb Shimon. So it seems from there that if you only designated it for a mitzvah, but it's no longer, or it's not osa to use it, then it would seem from here that Reb Shimon will say there's no muktzah. If it's just huktzah l'mitzvosoy, if it's only designated for a mitzvah, are you going to say that it's not muktzah? So in the case of the Shabbos candles, the huktzah l'mitzvosoy is designated it for the mitzvah, and the whole mitzvah is only whilst it's a light. And whilst it's a light, there's an issa. It's huktzah l'isuroy. So in the case of the Shabbos candles, it's always going to overlap. Whenever it's it's designated, whenever it's being mekayim the mitzvah, it's also huktzah le'isuroi. And as soon as the lamp extinguishes, it's no longer doing the mitzvah, and it's also no longer osa, because you cannot extinguish an extinguished lamp. But there's going to be another case where a mitzvah, something can be designated for a mitzvah even though there's no issa involved. Let's see the case. V'atanya, we saw in a brisa, if somebody had a sukkah on sukkahs and he covered the sukkah with schach, and he decorated it bekromim with curtains, and embroidered linen, and he hang from the schach egoizim, nuts, afarsikim, peaches, shkedim, almonds, v'remoinim, pomegranates, v'afar choli shel anovim, clusters of grapes, v'itrois shel shibolim, and wreaths of grains, yenois, different wines, shmonim, oils, v'saltois, some fine flowers, all this to decorate the sukkah. Osur listapik men, you're not allowed to use any of these decorations ad motzi yom tova achrin, until the end of Sukkos. And v'im hisnalem, however, if he made a condition before the onset of Sukkos that he does not want them to become designated uniquely and exclusively just for the decorations, and he says, I may want to use some of it on Yom Tov, then hakei lefi atnai, then according to the condition, it will not be mukta. But you see here clearly that you're not allowed to take away any of these things hanging from the roof, even though there's no issa of soisa. And even if we're going to talk about using the sukkah itself on Chol HaMoed, there's no issa of soisa, of demolishing a sukkah. So on Chol HaMoed, even though the mitzvah of sukkah is still there, any isurim that would apply do not apply on Chol HaMoed. So you see here clearly that according to this brisa, even though there's no issa, you're not allowed to use any parts of the sukkah, even on Chol HaMoed, even though it's huktzah le'mitzvasei. So what are you going to say? Maybe this brayse is Reb Yehuda, maybe this brayse is not Reb Shimon. Says the Gemara, Mimaydu Reb Shimon here, I can prove to you that this brayse is Reb Shimon. The Tani Reb Chia Bar Yosef, Kameidu Reb Yechanon, Reb Chia Bar Yosef said in front of Reb Yechanon, Ein noitlim eitzim min asukkah b'yom tov. If you had a sukkah, a shed, a hut that was a regular hut on Yom Tov, not talking about sukkahs, on Pesach, on Shavuos, on any Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take any of the woods that are making up the hut on Yom Tov. Elo min asamuchlo. Only from the woods that were leaning onto the sukkah, those that you're not doing any soisa, those you can take, but you cannot use any of the woods of the sukkah on Yom Tov. Even if it falls down, even if the shed falls down on Pesach or on Shavuos, and now the shed is no longer a shed, nonetheless, you're not allowed to use any of the woods on Yom Tov. Reb Shimon Matir. Reb Shimon says you can. He doesn't hold that since it was Muktzah when Yom Tov came in, you were not allowed to demolish it. Reb Shimon says, now that it's demolished, it's not Muktzah anymore. According to the Tanakhama say that since when Yom Tov came in, it was a shed, it was a sukkah, you were not allowed to demolish it. It was muktzah then, so you're not allowed to use it the whole Yom Tov. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says it's muta. V'shovin, and this is the important part that we need, that both the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon agree, b'sukkah isachag, on sukkahs itself, sukkahs hachag b'chag, shehi asura, all 7 days of sukkahs until Yom Tov Achrin, that it's also to use any of the hut, even though it's fallen down. Vim hisno le'akei lefi atanai, providing you didn't make the condition before Yom Tov came set on. So you see here that even according to Reb Shimon, you're not allowed to use the woods of a sukkah even after it's fallen down. So you see clearly, according to Reb Shimon, huktzah le'mitzvasei, even though there's no longer an issa, it's mukta. Answers the Gemara, no. Ke'en shemen shebeneir ka'omrinon. What did Rabbi Yechanon say? Rabbi Yechanon said, Ein muktzel Reb Shimon, elo shemen shebeneir b'shar shehu doilek. The only time that Reb Shimon says it's muktzah is the oil of a lamp whilst it's alight, hoil v'huktzel mitzvasei, huktzel yisurei. Says the Gemara, no. What Rabbi Yochanan actually said is not that only the oil of a lamp while it's light is mukta. What he said was, ke'en, anything that's similar to the oil in a lamp, that in the same way as the oil in a lamp, all the while that it's huktza lemitzvosoi, it's mukta according to Reb Shimon. And it happens to be the reason that it's mukta is because of kibui, you're not allowed to take any of the oil off the lamp. So too, any huktza lemitzvosoi, it's mukta, even according to Reb Shimon. Ke'en shemen shebaner kamrinon hoil v'huktzel mitzvasoi huktzel isuroi. As we explained before, in the case of the lamp, it's only ever osa whilst it's a light, because it was only muktzel mitzvasoi. The whole mitzvah of Shabbos candles is only whilst it's a light. As soon as it goes out, it's no longer the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, and therefore it was not huktzel mitzvasoi, but any other mitzvah, for example, sukkah, where you designated it to be for the entire sukkahs, it remains mukta the whole sukkahs, even when there's no issa, for example, if it's already fallen down. Or in the case of the decorations, where there's no issa soisa, there's no issa soisa to take them down. Says the Gemara, Itmanami, Omer b'chir bar Abba Omer b'yechanon, Ein mukta l'Reb Shimon, elo ke'en shemen shebaner. That according to Reb Shimon, it's only ever mukta if it's similar to shemen shebaner b'shar shuhu daylek, whilst the lamp is light. Hoyel v'huktzel mitzvasoi huktzel yisuroi. So it says explicitly, we see that Reb Yochanan made it clear that it wasn't only shemen shebaner which hoyel v'huktzel mitzvasoi huktzel yisuroi. It's anything that's ke'en, similar to the lamp. The same way as the lamp, it's only mukta whilst it's huktzel mitzvasoi. And it happens to be the reason is because as soon as it stops, it gets extinguished, it's no longer doing the mitzvah. So too, anything that's huktza lemitzvosoi, in the event that the mitzvah would have carried on, it remains mukta, even according to Reb Shimon. And since the mitzvah of sukkahs is the whole of sukkahs, including Chol HaMoed, and therefore the mukta on the sukkah, even according to Reb Shimon, applies for the entire sukkahs. Continues the Gemara. We're now going to learn some more details of mukta according to Reb Shimon, and we're going to speak about different fruits. Omar Reb Yehuda Omar Shmuel, Ein mukta l'Reb Shimon elo groy grois v'tzimukim bilvad. According to Reb Shimon, the only fruit items that are ever going to be mukta are groy grois, which are dried figs, v'tzimukim and raisins, bilvad, and no other fruits. And the reason is because these fruit items, as soon as they're put on the roof to dry out, they become inedible. And so just putting them on the roof to dry out means that you've set them aside with no intentions of having any use from it on Shabbos, and therefore, even according to Reb Shimon, it's going to be mukta. Asks the Gemara, midiachrin eloi, there are no other fruits that belong in this category. V'atani, we learnt in a braisa, hoyo oichel b'te'enim, if somebody was eating figs, v'hoisir v'helon legag, and whilst he was eating them, there was some left over. He went and he put them up onto the roof. Lasis mem gregrois, to turn them into dried figs. Ba'anovim, he was eating grapes, and v'hoisir, and there was some left over grapes that he did not want to eat. V'helon legag, and he went and put them up on the roof. Lasis mem tzimukim, to make from them into grapes, into raisins. Lo yoichal ad sheyazmin, they are mukta, and until you designate them, you have intentions to use them on Shabbos, but if you do not do that, you're not allowed to eat them or use them on Shabbos, they are mukta. V'cheina to'ime be'afar sekim, and the same is true with peaches, v'chavushin, and other types of fruit, u'b'shar kol mine peiros, all types of other fruits. Says the Gemara Mani, who's this braisa? Is this braisa Reb Shimon, or maybe it's not Reb Shimon? Ilem Reb Yehuda, if you say that this braisa is Reb Yehuda, we know that according to Reb Yehuda, even if you did not actively set something aside and put it away for Shabbos, we still say there's a concept of mukta according to Reb Yehuda. As long as it's not regular or not, we can assume that you weren't going to use it on Shabbos, it's already mukta. So it goes without saying that the fruits that you go out of your way to put them on the roof and set them aside, of course they're mukta. We don't need we don't need the Braisa to tell us that. Elolav Reb Shimon hi. It must be that the Braisa is going according to Reb Shimon, where Reb Shimon doesn't hold of a regular mukta, and the chiddush is that according to Reb Shimon, these things are mukta, because you've actively set them aside, and you see here that it's not only grey and tzimukim, it's other fruits as well. Not like Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel. Answers the Gemara. Elulav Rav Shimon. He answers the Gemara. Lo'ilam Rav Yehuda. It could be this price, says Rav Yehuda. Va'oichel it's tricholei. There's a chiddush here. Because he's actually eating these fruits while he's taking them up onto the roof. So I might have thought, if you're eating them now, and it happens to be that you deposited the leftovers on the roof, maybe the fact that you're eating them means that they're not mukta. No, that's the chiddush. I may have thought, given the ka'ochil va'ozil, he's eating them while he's putting them up on the roof. I might have thought that they don't become mukta, and even if you do not designate them for to eat on Yontov or on Shabbos, it's going to stay. It's not going to be mukta. Kumashmalon, that's the chiddush. Kivan de hell on the gag, since he put them up on the roof, asuche osche ledaiti minayu, he diverted his attention from those fruits altogether. It's as if he's set them aside, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, they are mukta, and until you are mazmin, until you are designate them to be used on Shabbos, they remain mukta. And obviously you have to designate them to be used from before Shabbos. If before Shabbos you decide to use them on Shabbos, then they are no longer mukta on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Boye minei Reb Shimon barebi mirebi. Reb Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked Rebbe the following question. Patzilei tomorrow. An unripe date. Le Reb Shimon, according to Reb Shimon, who doesn't normally hold of mukta, mahu. What's going to be the halacha? And these unripe dates, they're not put up on the roof, and we know that as soon as they get put on the roof, or very soon after they get put on the roof, they become inedible. No, these unripe dates are left in baskets made of lulav leaves, of palm leaves, and they're just left there to become ripened on their own. So what would Reb Shimon say there? Omale, Rebbe answered, Ein mukta l'Reb Shimon elo gregreis v'tzimukim bilvad. According to Reb Shimon, the only fruits that are mukta are the grey grace and the tzimukim, as we mentioned before. Asks the Gemara, the Rebbe lesle mukta? From the fact that they asked Rebbe what Reb Shimon holds with these unripe dates, it seems that Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, that there's no mukta. And the question is, what will Reb Shimon hold regarding these patzilei tomorrow? The Rebbe lesle mukta? Is that true that Rebbe doesn't hold of mukta? Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon regarding mukta? Votnan, we learned in the Mishnah. Ein mashkin v'sheichatin es hamidboriyos, aval mashkin v'sheichatin es habesos. The custom used to be, before they would slaughter an animal, they would let it drink a lot of water, and that way it's easier to skin the animal. Now, there are two different types of animals. There are midboriyos. They are those that are privately owned, they belong to somebody, but they roam around freely. And then you've got the besos, you've got the domestic animals in the home. So the halacha is, the Mishnah says, Ein mashkin v'sheichatin, you're not allowed to give to drink and then to shecht those animals that are free to roam around, because they're mukta. Aval mashkin v'sheichatin is a besos, but those that are in the home, that are domesticated, and you had in mind before Yom Tov, that he was going to, or possibly going to shecht it for Yom Tov, they're not mukta, and you're allowed to give them to drink, and then to shecht them. V'tanya, and we learned in a braisa, Eilu hein midborios, what's considered a midborios, which is mukta, which is out of sight, out of mind, they're left to roam freely, and therefore they are mukta. Kol she yetzis b'pesach, those animals that leave the confines of the owner's home, Pesach, which is the beginning of the summer, and they only come back in Cheshvan when the rain starts, the rain season. Baisos, and what are the domestic ones? Those that go out to graze in the pasture during the day. And when it comes to the night time, they come back and they to sleep in the inside the tchum, close to home. Rebbe Oimer, Rabbi says, Elu ve'elu baisos sein. Both of these are called baisos. Even those animals that leave Pesach time and come back after Sukkos, they're also called domestic and they're not mukta. Ve'elu en midborios. What's called mudborios and they're mukta? Kol sheroyos ba'afor. All those that graze in the pasture. Ve'en nechnosos le'yishuv. And they do not come back into the settlements, loy b'moisachamov, loy b'moisagashomim. Not in the summer, not in the winter. They stay out to graze in the pasture all year round. Those are called midborios and those are mukta. And this is Rebbe talking. So you see clearly that Rebbe holds of mukta. So how could you say at the beginning of the Omud, why were they asking Rebbe what Reb Shimon would hold with unripe dates? It seems from there that Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon. The Gemara is going to offer three explanations why this contradiction should not be a contradiction. The first one is Ibois Ema Hani Namika Gregory Sutsimukin Damya. These animals that get left to graze and the master, the owners, sends them away. It's almost as if he's actively setting them aside, saying, you go out and graze and you don't come back, not in the summer, not in the winter, and if the owner actually wants to get to those animals, it's going to be very difficult in order to get them. It's compared to the Gregrois and the Tzimukim of Reb Shimon. Ibois Eima, another explanation, says the Gemara, Lidvorov de Reb Shimon ko'omale, v'lei lo yisvirele. When he was asked, Patzile tomorrow le Reb Shimon mahu, he answered, he was asked, what would Reb Shimon hold? He answered what Reb Shimon would hold, but not that he holds like Reb Shimon. V'ibois Eima, Lidavreim de Rabbonon ko'omaluhu. Or it could be that in that brisa that we mentioned with the Midborios and the Basios, it's not that Rebbe himself held that the Midborios are mukta. It could be he himself holds like Reb Shimon and the Midborios will not be mukta. But when he was answering, when he said, what's a Midborios and what's Basios, he was answering the Chachomim. He was saying as follows, Ledidi, according to me, lesli mukta klal. I hold like Reb Shimon, according to this third explanation, I hold like Reb Shimon, there's no mukta. Leditchu b'yu chachomim, who say there is mukta, with midborios and not basios, oidu limios, at least agree with me, dehecha deyotzeis b'pesach v'nechnosis b'revia, agree to me that those animals that leave Pesach time and come back when the rain starts, the basios ninu, they are called domestic animals, they are basios, they are not mukta. V'rabonon, omru lei, lav midborios ninu. And the Rabbonon, they argued and they held that they are midborios, not like Rebbe. So there was just a discussion whether the Rabbonon would be moida to Rebbe that those animals that leave Pesach time and come back in Cheshvan, are they midborios or basos, according to the Rabbonon, who say that they are mukta. Rebbe himself will say, there's no mukta. He holds like Reb Shimon, according to this third explanation. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbe Bar Bar Chono, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Omru, apparently this is what Rabbi Yochanan said, they said, Halocha Reb Shimon, Halocha is like Reb Shimon. So according to Rabbe Bar Chono, we assume that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Halocha is like Reb Shimon, not like Rabbi Yehuda. And there's no mukta. Asks the Gemara, Mi Omar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Does Rabbi Yochanan hold that the halacha is there's no mukta? V'aboy minei hahu sabo koiroyo, v'omri lei soroyo, mi Rabbi Yochanan. Either one of the elders from a place called Koroyo or from a place called Soroyo asked Rabbi Yochanan the following question. Kino shel tarnagoyles, a nest or a chicken coop, mahu letiltulei b'shabbos. Are you allowed to move it on Shabbos? And you obviously have a good reason to move it. Because generally speaking, this chicken coop is something which is only for the chickens. It's only for the hens. It's not meant for human use. However, are you allowed to move it if you need it, either the place where it is or if you want to use it for something that's muta? Omar Le, Sir Beichanon said to this elder, Klum osu elu letaron regoilim. This, it's mukta. You're not allowed to move it because this nest is only and unique and exclusively dedicated for the chickens, for the hens. And therefore it's melachti le'issa. You're not allowed to move it. So you see clearly that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's an issa of mukta. According to Reb Shimon, you would be allowed to move this kino shel tarnagoyles, this chicken coop. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon? Says the Gemara, Hocha b'mayoskinon, you're right. Generally speaking, Rabbi Shimon would say it's not mukta. Over here, Rabbi Shimon will say that it's mukta. The ispe efroyach mace. There's a dead chick inside this coop, and therefore the chicken coop, the nest itself, is a bosses, is holding a dead efroyach, and therefore it's mukta. Now we have to understand this. It's clear that a dead chick is not edible to a person, to any Jew, any Yid, because it's an avela, it hasn't been shechted. But theoretically, it's raw, it's edible to a dog. Why can't he give it to a dog and it will not be mukta? So for that, the halacha is, Rashi explains that since when the onset of Yontav, this chick was a healthy chicken. There was nothing wrong with it. So even Reb Shimon will soon see about this in the Gemara. But we assume that any animal that was totally healthy and was not going to die, was not showing signs of dying before the onset of Yontav, according to Reb Shimon, in the owner's mind, this is an animal that's slated to live, not to die, and it's totally mukta. And it cannot become a food item over Yontav. So over here, since this chick was totally healthy at the onset of Yom Tov, then even though theoretically it would be edible for a dog, you're not allowed to give it to a dog because he had designated it in his mind to stay alive and not to be a food item, and therefore it's mukta, even according to Reb Shimon. So that's what this Gemara is answering now. The nest itself, according to Reb Shimon, may possibly not be mukta. However, since there's a chick, a dead chick in there, and the dead chick is certainly mukta because it was healthy and alive when Yontav came in, therefore you're not allowed to move this nest, this chicken coop, because of the dead chick inside it. Says the Gemara, Honich leman lemar bar ameimer meshmei derav, do omar moid hoyer Reb Shimon bebalei chayim shemesu sheasurin. That's all true according to that opinion that says that according to Reb Shimon, if an animal was healthy at the onset of Yontav, then Reb Shimon agrees it's mukta and you're not allowed to use it to feed a dog with it. Elo lemar bereider of Yosef meshmei derava. However, according to mar bereider of Yosef in the name of Rava, do omar choluk hoyer Reb Shimon afilu bebalei chayim shemesu Shehin Mutorin, according to that opinion that holds, that according to Reb Shimon, he says there's no mukta, even on an animal that dies on Yontav, even though it was well and healthy on the onset of Yontav. So if so, this dead chick should not be mukta. You should be able to give it to a dog. And if it's not mukta, then why do Reb Yochanan say that you're not allowed to move this this coop if Reb Yochanan holds like Reb Shimon? Says the Gemara, Hochab Mayaskinon B'dis Be'etza. We're talking about here, not that there's a dead chicken in it, but there's an egg in it. And this egg is noilad. And since it was newly born, and it wasn't in the owner's mind, bechlal, to use such an egg on Yom Tov, even Reb Shimon would say it's mukta. Ask the Gemara of Omer of Nachman, Mand isle mukta isle noilad, de lesle mukta lesle noilad. Reb Nachman said that only those that hold of mukta, which is Rabbi Yehuda, holds that there's a mukta on something which is noilad, something that's newly laid, newly born, on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not hold of mukta, he will not hold of an issa of noilad either. And therefore this egg will not be mukta, according to Rabbi Shimon. So why did Rabbi Yochanan say you're not allowed to move it if he holds of Rabbi Shimon? Answers the Gemara, D'ispe beitzas efreach. The Gemara is answering that there's a case that Reb Shimon will say that there's an egg which is mukta, and it's not because it was noilad, and it's not because when Shabbos came in, it was a healthy chick. No, we're talking about an egg with a chick inside it. So a person can't eat it because there's a chick inside. A dog wouldn't eat it, an animal wouldn't eat it because of the shell that's on this chick. And therefore, practically speaking, this egg is not edible for anybody, not for humans and not for animals. In such a case, Reb Shimon would agree that at the onset of Shabbat, of Yom Tov, it's totally out of his mind. And therefore, it's completely mukta. And since such an egg is in this nest, therefore Reb Yochanan said, even though he, Reb Yochanan, could hold like Reb Shimon, that there's no mukta, but if there's such an egg in such a chicken coop, then he'll agree you're not allowed to move this coop because of the egg in it, which even Reb Shimon will agree is mukta. Continues the Gemara. Ki also Reb Yitzchok b'Reb Yosef, Omer Reb Yochanan halacha k'Reb Yehuda. In contrast to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who said in the name of Reb Yochanan that the halacha is like Reb Shimon, Reb Yitzchok b'Reb Yosef held that Reb Yochanan holds halacha k'Reb Yehuda, the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, that there is mukta, not like Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Omer halacha k'Reb Shimon, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi argues with Reb Yochanan and says and holds and paskins rules like Reb Shimon. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef added, "Hainu de Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yechanan Omru Alocha K'Reb Shimon." Now I understand that going back to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Omar Rabbi Yechanan, what did it say there? Omru Halocha K'Reb Shimon. They said there were those that claimed the Halocha was like K'Reb Shimon. So the Gemara before assumed that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana held that Rabbi Yechanan held the Halocha was like K'Reb Shimon. Now we're saying no. Rabbi Yitzchok by Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Yechanan held the halachas not like Reb Shimon. Rabbi Yechanan before was just saying that there were those that held that the halacha was like Reb Shimon. Hainu de Omer Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Rabbi Yechanan Omru halacha k'Reb Shimon. Omru v'lei lo yisfir le. Rabbi Yechanan was just relating what others held, but he didn't hold of it. Omer le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. Abaye now asked Rabbi Yosef, v'at lo yitzbara. The Rabbi Yochanan k'Reb Yehuda, till you heard Rabbi Yitzchok in the name of Rabbi Yosef saying that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and then you Rabbi Yosef added that now you understand that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan was not saying what Rabbi Yochanan himself holds, just what Rabbi Yochanan was relating that others held. Till you heard all this, you thought that Rabbi Yochanan holds the halachas like Rabbi Shimon and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Horeb Abba v'Reb Asi iklu lebei Reb Abba demin Chaifa. Reb Abba and Reb Asi, they were visiting Reb Abba from Chaifa. V'nofel menorata al glime, and a candelabra that was not lit, it's already extinguished, fell onto the cloak of Reb Asi. Al glime de Reb Asi v'loy tiltele. And he did not move it with his hands. He probably shaked it off, but he didn't want to move it with his hands. My tama, lav mishum de Rav Asi talmide de Rabbi Yochanan hava. Is it not because Rav Asi was a talmid of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan his rebbe held like Rabbi Yehuda that is a mukta? So you should have known that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yochanan k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirle de isle mukta. Omar le, Rav Yosef says no. Menarta k'omris, you're trying to bring me proof from the story of the candelabra with Rav Asi, Rabbi Yochanan's Talmud, that from there it's apparent, from the fact that he did not move it with his hands, that his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, holds that there is mukta like Rabbi Yehuda? No. Menarta shani, in the case of the menorah, the candelabra, that's different, and there, even if he held like Rabbi Shimon, that in most cases there's no mukta, regarding this big candelabra, Rabbi Yochanan would say, that means Rabbi Shimon would say, that it is mukta, and possibly that's why Rabbi Asi did not want to move it with his hands. So from that story in itself, you do not yet have proof that his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, holds like Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer Bacha Bar Chanina, Omer Basi, Hoyer Resh Lokish B'Tzidon. Resh Lokish in Tzidon, a place of Tzidon, ruled Menoira Haniteles B'Yadoi Achas, a small candelabra that can be held in one hand, Mutala Taltala. It's not Mukta. B'Shtei Yadov, however, a big candelabra that can only be held with two hands, also a Taltala. You're not allowed to move it, it's Mukta. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan argued with Resh Lokish M'Tzidon, and he said explicitly, Onu ein lonu elo b'neir k'Reb Shimon. We hold that regarding a neir, a small, not a candelabra, a small lamp, which is small, and was not lit on that Shabbos b'chlal. So there's no issue of the migu, of it becoming muktzah for this Shabbos. However, it's ma'us, and he holds, Rabbi Yochanan says, like Reb Shimon, that we don't hold of muktzah machmas mius, and therefore it will not be muktzah. Avul menorah, but a candelabra, bein nitla b'yodo achas, bein nitla b'shtei yodov, osul taltala. Either both a small one and a big one, it's mukta. You're not allowed to move it, even according to Reb Shimon. And since Reb Yochanan here says explicitly that regarding mukta machmas mius, he holds like Reb Shimon, and that's the only case where Neir is not going to be Muktzah, but regarding any type of candelabra, even according to Reb Shimon, both a small one and a big one will be Muktzah. Therefore, from the story with Rav Asi, the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, who did not want to move a menorah, that would not be proof that Rabbi Yechanan holds of Muktzah like Rabbi Yehuda, because even Rabbi Shimon holds it's also, we don't yet know why, but even according to Rabbi Shimon, it's also to move a menorah. So you cannot bring proof from there. But Tamamai, why does Rabbi Shimon hold, why did Rabbi Yechanan say that menorah, beinit lo biyode achas, beinit lo b'shtei yod, of a small one and a big one, is also to move? And we're saying now, this is even according to Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason? The Amr Tarvayu, both Rabbi and Rav Yosef explained, Hoyel v'odom kevea lo imokim, since a person sets aside a place, a designated place, and does not intend to move it, therefore even Rav Shimon will agree that it's not mukta, that it is mukta. Anything that's been set aside and has a designated place, since it's set in that place, it's mukta, even according to Rav Shimon. That's what Rabbi and Rav Yosef assumes. Omale Abaye Rav Yosef. Abaye is now questioning Rav Yosef. You, Rav Yosef, say that anything that has a designated place is mukta, you're not allowed to move it. Vare kilas chasanim, a canopy, a bridal canopy, which was a bed that had a vertical pole on each end of the bed, and a curtain draped over a horizontal pole that was joining these two vertical poles. That was called a bridal canopy, a kilas chasanim. The adam kever lo imokim, it was typical that it should have a designated place, a fixed place. V'oma Shmuel mishum Reb Chiya, and nonetheless Shmuel said in the name of Reb Chiya, that kilas chasanim muta lintoisa, you're allowed to move it, umuta lefarko, you can take off the sheet that's draped over it. B'Shabbos, even though it was a designated place, it's clearly not become mukta. So how can you say here that the reason that Reb Shimon or Reb Yechanan hold that you're not allowed to move any type of menorah is because it's got a fixed place? So what, that it's got a fixed place? That doesn't make it mukta. Elo Amar Abaye, Abaye gives a different explanation why a menorah should be also to be moved, and therefore it's nothing to do with the regular halachas of mukta. B'shel chulyos, a type of menorah that's made of sections, that's the type of menorah we're talking about here. And since it's made of sections, you're not allowed to move it, because if you disassemble it and reassemble it on Shabbos or Yontov, you're making a kli. And to make a kli is severely asa, nothing to do with mukta. Yehocha asks the Gemara, "My Talmud Reb Shimon ben Lakish." We saw that Reb Shimon ben Lakish said that a small menorah, you were allowed to move it. Well, a small menorah, if it's made of parts and you disassemble it and you reassemble it, it's equally asa. And since it's a deraisa of tikkun kli, of asiyas kli, of making a kli, and that's severely asa, it should be asa to move it in any rate, because you may come to reassemble it. In the same way as there's no difference between a big menorah and a small menorah in this aspect. So why does Shimon Lakish say that a small menorah you're allowed to move? Says the Gemara, "My chulyos ke'en chulyos." Of course, if it's actually a menorah made of parts, you're not allowed to move it, because you may come to reassemble it, and that was going to be severely awesome in our Torah on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and therefore everybody agrees that you're not allowed to move them. Here we're talking about similar to sections, the isbe chidki, they're grooves, and it looks like a menorah made of sections, but in truth, it's not made of sections. Hilkach, and therefore the halach is as follows. We're talking about a menorah that has these grooves. So the chulyos, if it's actually made of sections, bein gedayla, bein ktana, asura letaltala, everybody agrees you're not allowed to move it, because you may come to reassemble it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Gedayla, a big menorah, nami de'isbe chidki, even if it's not made of sections, but it's got grooves and it looks like it's got sections, it's also, according to everybody, gzeira otu gedoilo de chulyes, because it looks similar to a big menorah with sections, and it's very, very typical for a big menorah to have sections. Therefore, you may get confused with a big menorah with sections, and everybody agrees you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Ki pligi, what's the argument? B'ktana, we're talking about a small menorah that typically was not made of parts. And therefore, if it has grooves, you may not mistaken it for a menorah that has grooves, that has parts, and therefore maybe it should be mutter. And there's not a gezeira, not that you shouldn't be allowed to touch it or move it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And that's the machlokes. That's the argument. Biktanod is bechidki. Marasava gozrinon. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they made a gzeira and said that even a small one that has these grooves, it's also asa. You may mistaken it for a menorah that has sections. Or marasava legozrinon. And Rish Lakish held that since a typical small menorah does not have sections, nobody will confuse this menorah with grooves to one with sections, and therefore there's no reason to say that it's mukta. And Yemir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we'll continue from here.